All right. Down to let's make a deal, so we're going to have to move fast. Now, I got to tell you, there's been a couple of things. When I showed up this morning, I thought to myself, I'm going to ask for someone who has a nail file. But then I got to thinking I should ask for somebody who has a whoopee cushion. But really what I thought was I would see if there's anybody here, this is terrible, that might be dressed as like the Green Lantern. Is there anyone here who might be dressed like the Green Lantern? Certainly there is. Spectacular. Come up here and join me, would you, sir? Impressive. You know, there's a side of me that just says you really should come to First Baptist Church. As good as the worship is, as faithful as I try to be to preach the word, you should just come because you don't know what's going to happen. We might have the Green Lantern.
It's email. Yeah, email as in man.
Email as in M-A-L-E. Yeah. Okay, well, we got it straight. I sure wouldn't want to mess up your costume. We got the pastor kissing the worship leader. We got Mr. Email. We got whoopee cushions. We got it all going on. So here's what I'd say to you. Your gift, a reward, your prize this morning is a gift card to, I think, one of the fine dining establishments known worldwide as Ronald McDonald's McDonald's. Woo! All right. But as is the case always with Let's Make a Deal, you do have options. You could go with box number one. You could go with box number two, or you could go with box number three. Now, you do need to know that is not a $1,000 gift card. It's a $10 gift card. So, would you like to make a deal today, or would you prefer to keep your McDonald's gift card?
I'll make a deal.
You'll make a deal. Give it up for Mr. Email. All right, and so then what we would need to know is, I would need your card. And I would need to know which box you choose, please, sir. Box number three? No. Box number two? Or box number one?
We'll go with box number one.
You'll go with box number one.
I trust the people.
You trust the people. That will be great considering how the day has gone so far. All right, here's what you got to know. Box number one, what you could have had was a $50 gift card to another one of our fine dining establishments in Medill, Hobo Joe's. But you did not pick number one. You did not pick number two. What you could have had for number two, if you would have chosen it, was a fantastic box of goodies. Sour Patch Kids, Gummy Bears, Junior Mints, Hot Tamales. You could have had everything. But you could go away today as the big winner because you have made a wonderfully spectacular deal in box number one. And you're saying to yourself, what did I win? I would tell you this. You won two photos of your pastor, one as a two-year-old and one as a 10-year-old.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes, spectacular.
Yes. Yes.
And I will have you know he will be available in the foyer after the service. If you would like those autographed, he would be more than happy to do so. Thank you so much for playing today.
Excellent.
Give it up for Mr. Email. You know, the truth of the matter is temptation kind of works that way. It's enticing, and then sometimes it just doesn't turn out exactly the way that we were hoping for. In Matthew chapter 4, we see that Jesus is led out to the wilderness. Verses 1 through 4, we see the first of his temptations as he's tempted three times by the devil. It says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Then the tempter approached him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But Jesus answered, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Here's what I would tell you first that you need to know about temptation, at least as it relates here this morning, is that temptation is the beginning stages. The beginning stages when it comes to temptation, number one, I want you to catch this. It says that Jesus was led up into the wilderness by the Spirit. That's important for you to know. The reason that it's important for you to know is that even as a Christ follower who is being led by the Spirit, you can be in the midst of being led by the Spirit, you can and you will be tempted. Don't think you are walking so tightly with the Lord that the devil can't get to, that he can't get to you, or that he's not interested in you. One of the books that I love to read, and I read it about every week as I prepare for sermons, I wanted to read you a quote this morning from a guy named John Wycliffe. And he gives a great quote just from the standpoint of for each of us to know where we are in our lives and where we are in our walk with the Lord. I want you to listen to this. He says, "Let no man think himself to be holy because he is not tempted. For the holiest and highest in life have the most temptations. How much higher the hill is, so much is the wind there greater. So how much higher the life is, so much the stronger is the temptation of the enemy." You would think that the closer we walk with the Lord, the less we would have of temptation. I want you to know this. The closer you walk with the Lord, the greater your temptation will be. It's just that greater who is in you than he that is in the world. Don't miss the side that when Jesus was first tempted, that it says he was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. Jesus was where God wanted him to be. But then it says not only that he was led up by the Spirit, but he was tempted by the devil. Now, when we think about temptation and we think about testing, we know the scriptures say that God does not tempt us. But the truth is, God does allow us to go through tests. God does give us the option of growing in our lives, of stretching us and putting us under pressure in order that our faith might grow and that we might be more dependent upon Him. Temptation is Satan's attempt to expose our weaknesses. But when God tests us, it's an opportunity for us to reveal His strength in our lives. So don't miss the idea of temptation and testing. God does put us to the test, but God does not tempt us. The idea behind it is that temptation is hoping for failure. Testing is hoping for a passing grade. A good teacher wants all her students or all his students to pass the test. So know that Jesus was led up to the wilderness by the Spirit, and there he was tempted by the devil. And so as Jesus is where God wants him to be, it doesn't absolve him from being tempted. Know that as you walk with the Lord, temptation is a part of life. It's a fact of life. And the greater that you walk with the Lord, the higher, the more your spiritual maturity grows, the more you mature, those temptations just continue to increase. Verses 2 and 3, not only with temptation in the beginning stages to see how it works, but temptation with the topic of origin. I think it's interesting when you look at verses 2 and 3. It says, after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry, and then the tempter approached him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." We talked about it a little bit last week that it's interesting that Satan starts off two of the temptations with Jesus with, "If you are the Son of God," when Satan full well knows that he is the Son of God. It's important for us to know, it's important for you to know who you are and whose you are. It helps us so much with the issue of doubt and with the issue of trust if you understand your significance to God and to God's kingdom. Jesus had a good memory. Jesus knew where he stood. If you look back up in Matthew chapter 3 at the story right before this happens, it's the baptism of Jesus. In verse 13 of chapter 3, it says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John," that's John the Baptist, "at the Jordan to be baptized by him. But John tried to stop Jesus, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and yet you come to me.' Jesus answered him, 'Allow it for now, because this is the way for us to fulfill all righteousness.' And then he allowed him to be baptized." Listen to this. "After Jesus was baptized, he went up immediately from the water. The heavens suddenly opened for him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming down on him. And there came a voice from heaven, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" You see, Jesus had a good memory, so it didn't bother him one chapter later, in just a little bit. In the scriptures, it's one chapter later, but in life, it was just moments. Jesus is led to the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, and there the devil tempts him. And he starts off with, if you're the Son of God. I don't think he made Jesus doubt at all that he was the Son of God, because Jesus had just come from his baptism where God had opened up the heavens and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. For some of us, you need to be reminded, when the devil tempts you and says, if you are a son or a daughter of God, you need to know this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. You need to remember that. God didn't roll back the heavens and say, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. He sent his beloved Son on your behalf. So when the devil says, if you are the Son of God, people need to see and be aware of this idea of who we are. The question to it is do they need to be aware of it because they see how we live, or do we want them to be aware of it? I think that was the pressure, the temptation that Satan was putting to Jesus in this particular place, is that this was Jesus' opportunity to let all the people know, let me tell you who I am. But Jesus didn't do that. He responded with Scripture. What promise has God given you that you need to remember? What promise has God given you at some point in your quiet time, or in a sermon, or in a Sunday school lesson, or in a song, that you need to remember? That you need to trust him, that he loves you, that he understands, that he forgives, and you need to stop worrying about it. Jesus was confident in who he was. He remembered that Jesus had just rolled back the clouds and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Are you one of those people right now that is just going through a good period of life? Things are just cruising along and going really well. If so, I want you to know something. You better get ready. That's usually when Satan attacks, is when things are going well. Because he does everything he can to chop us off at the knees. And it's easiest to chop us and we fall the hardest when things are going really well. You crash from the highest points. Not only is it a question here of Jesus, that Satan tempts Jesus to let the people be aware of who I am, but also what I can do. Anytime we play to an audience that we want people to know who I am or what I can do, it usually creates problems for us. But the truth is, Jesus has nothing to prove to the people. Not that there are people around, but there's no point for Jesus at this point in his life to reveal exactly who he is, but Satan is playing to his ego. Satan does the same thing for us. Sometimes he speaks to us that we feel like we need to let people know who we are. Sometimes he tempts us that we need to let people know what we can do. The truth of the matter is, Jesus could do anything, so why would he worry about showing what his powers were? And the last one is, the temptation was what Jesus is owed. For some of us, we're motivated by the idea that we want people to know, hey, this is what I'm owed. This is what should be happening to me. When we get motivated by the audience, we usually get in trouble, because most of us, our audience is not the right audience. The truth is, for all of us as Christ followers, we should play to an audience of one. In every situation, we should only be concerned with what God thinks, with what God sees, and with what God wants. But I wonder here if he is tempting Jesus to let the people know, this is what I'm owed. Think about Jesus' life. This is Jesus, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, abiding in heaven, and God sends him to earth. He was born in a stable. Doesn't seem right for royalty. Not only was he born in a stable, but then his family had to flee because the king of the day wanted to kill all of the Jewish boys, if you remember the story. And not only did his family have to flee, but then he had to grow up in a little town called Nazareth. That you'll remember in the scriptures, in another place, the question is asked, does anything good come from Nazareth? You see, Jesus had numerous things in his life that just didn't go according to what most of us would say was the plan for his life. But Jesus knew he wasn't owed anything. He had come to accomplish a purpose. Sometimes Satan tempts us because we feel like we're owed something. You know, it's a bad place to be if you've ever been in a job that you feel like they owe you more than your wages. If you get in a place where you feel like you're owed more than your wages, usually you'll take something that's not yours. Now, maybe it's something insignificant like a pen, or Maybe it's something more significant, like you handle the payroll or you handle money and you decide you'll just subsidize yourself for what you think you ought to be owed. But sometimes we don't take money or we don't take things. Sometimes what we take from our jobs because we feel like we're owed something and the devil tempts us with it is we take time. We don't give our best at our work. Maybe we get there a little late. Maybe we clock out a little early. Maybe we take lunch a little too long. Maybe we don't do our best job in dealing with customers. Or maybe we don't do our finest job in putting things together. You see, the devil tempts him with turning these stones to bread. But I don't really think the temptation was to turn stones to bread. I think the temptation was for Jesus to let people know who he was, that he could do miracles, that he was the Son of God, but the timing was not right for that. Maybe the temptation was for him to know what he could, to let people know what he could do. I think that's sometimes a temptation for us. Don't all of us, when we tell stories, kind of stretch them sometimes? Don't we all tell that we were better athletes in high school than we really were? That's the old song, how the old song goes, you get better as you get older. I'm not as good as I once was. We all have a temptation to do that because we're all, to some extent, deal and are driven by pride and ego. You just have to learn to manage them. And Jesus did such a great job with that. Really, the problem here is a problem of what to do with supernatural power. That was the temptation. Was Jesus willing to use his supernatural power, his divinity, to prove to the people there was something special about him, or to let them know exactly what he could do, or that he was owed because I am the Son of God and yet I was born in a stable and had to flee with my family and had to be raised in Nazareth? It was very possible for the temptation here to be the fact that it was about time for people to understand that Jesus was powerful and that he was royalty and that he was important and that he was the Messiah, but that was not Jesus' faithful obedience. That was not a part of God's plan at this point in his life, and I think that was a temptation of the devil. But I want you to know this, that Jesus was attacked in an area of his strength. Now stop and think about that a second. Jesus was tempted in an area of his strength, who he is, what he can do, why he did come to the earth. Stop and think about that. Jesus was tempted in an area of his strength because Jesus had no weaknesses, right? Right? Jesus had no weaknesses. So wherever the devil tempted him had to be in an area of strength. We typically have the idea that temptation comes to us in our areas of weakness. And that's true. But I also want you to know you need to be aware of your strengths because the devil will tempt you in your strengths as well. We guard against our weaknesses, but we got to be aware of our strengths. You need to know what your spiritual gifts are. Because Satan will tempt you in an area to either not use your spiritual gifts or to misuse your spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 12 says, "So whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall." Hey, when you think you're doing good, you better be careful. That's about the time that the devil will jerk the carpet out from under you. When I say that you need to know your weaknesses and be aware of them, you certainly need to know your strengths and be aware of them. Jesus was tempted in an area of strength, how much supernatural power he had. For some of us, one of your strengths, not that it's a spiritual gift, but one of your strengths is charm. If you think about charm, you can use it to make other people feel important. But you can also use it to get away with things you shouldn't get away with. If you think about some who are good with their words, you can use those words to encourage others. But you can also use those words to justify the actions that you have that you should not have done. For some of us, for some of you, you're blessed with intellect, you're blessed with knowledge. You could become a master. But what makes people of great intellect great is when they use the knowledge they have and become a servant to others to help their lives be better. You see, even your strength can be a weakness if you allow the devil to tempt you in the wrong way to use the strengths and the abilities that God has given to each of us. But I want you to see, lastly, the temptation, the initial victory, the first victory that we get to see. It says, but Jesus answered, it is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. He says, man shall not live on bread alone. I want you to catch this, as it's important. He responds with, the first word is man. You might say, why is that significant? Because Jesus was tempted as a man. One of the hard things for us to understand is that Jesus is God's Son, that He's divine, that He's 100% God when He comes to earth, but that He also is 100% man. He faced temptation just like we do. But when He faced that temptation, He faced that temptation not as the divine Son of God, but as a human just like us. The Scripture says that He was tempted just as we are tempted. He says, man does not live by bread alone. Certainly that is true. Satan wanted Jesus to use His divine powers. Why? Because if Jesus, after fasting for 40 days, would turn stones to bread, that means Jesus was relying on Himself, not on the Heavenly Father, to provide what He needed. Does that make sense to you? Does that tell you how the devil gets us? If you think about sin, that's the way it works. The devil tempts us to rely on ourselves in some way. Our gifts, our ability, our money, our relationships. The whole point of temptation is to get you or to get me to rely on ourselves as opposed to relying on God. That's where he started with Jesus. And Jesus says, man does not live on bread alone. There's more to life than bread. Warren Wiersbe, one of my favorite guys to read, he says, what digestion is to the body, meditation is to the soul. Now, when I say meditation is to the soul, don't think cross-legged and meditation. If I ask how many of us in here prayed this last week, I bet it would be 100%. Now, whether we prayed every day or 100 times a day or just once since last Sunday, I bet every one of us prayed this week. That's not what I mean by meditation. I would bet most of us this week probably read our Bible at some point or thought of Bible verses at some point that we needed in our lives. But the place where most of us get in trouble, if we do pray and if we do read our Bible, is that we don't take time to sit and think and let God speak to us through His Word. That's the meditation I'm talking about. What digestion is to the body, meditation is to the soul. If you're not careful, you'll get in the habit of reading your Bible and praying and then being out the door because you got things to do. You got to take time and meditate. Because it's when God speaks back to us that our quiet times really make a difference to each one of us. He says, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Jesus relied on Scripture. He quoted Scripture. We talked about it last week. He relied on the Holy Spirit. Remember, the Holy Spirit had led him out there. Do you think the Holy Spirit led him out there and then left him there alone? Certainly the Holy Spirit was there with him, and I think Jesus relied on the Holy Spirit to help him to do the right thing when the Satan tempted him to turn the stones into bread. For us, we have the same resources available, except for not only do we have the Scripture and not only do we have the Holy Spirit, but we have Jesus, who's experienced in defeating the devil and temptation. When I lived in Ardmore, I've told you before, one of the things I got the opportunity to do was I was pretty involved with the athletic program there at Ardmore High School. And I didn't play football when I was in high school. I played baseball, and so a lot of the football stuff was new to me. Do you know, and I would imagine that we probably do it here, I don't know this, but in Ardmore we had a coach on our football team that never watched us play. He was on our staff, and he never came to games. You know why? Because every Friday he went and watched the team we're going to play next week. And he would get game film from them, and we would trade game films with coaches that played them last week. You see, for us to rely on the Holy Spirit, to rely on Jesus, to rely on the Scripture. It's just good preparation. Jesus has already been through the game with the devil. He's already been victorious. It would only make sense that we would want to seek Him out as we seek to be victorious over sin and temptation as well. Jesus knows the opponent well. He's battled him for years. As a matter of fact, from the beginning of creation, He's battled Satan. And He's been victorious. Hey, it's a sore subject with me this morning. But maybe we should have talked to somebody who played Kansas State before and had a little better idea of what they might do. When you have preparation on the front side, it just benefits you on the back side. That's why a quiet time is so important every day. If you want to know how to beat the University of Oklahoma, if I were the coach at Iowa State, I would probably call the Kansas State coach this week. I'd want to talk to somebody that's beat us. I want you to know the devil has defeated Satan. And if you'll talk to him, he'll give you the game plan for how to overcome the temptation and be victorious in your life. Satan tempted him to turn stones to bread. But really what he was tempting him was to rely on his own powers, to rely on himself. And for a lot of us in the room, that's the thing that gets us. It's not about rocks and it's not about bread. It's about strength. Are you going to rely on God or are you going to try to do it on your own? Temptation does not make you a sinner. It just confirms that you're a human. But your response to temptation allows for you to be victorious. One of the great encouragements in the Scriptures is in the book of James. Chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, but endurance must do its complete work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing." I want you to know, when you go through trials, when you go through temptations, they are to prepare you to be who God wants you to be, that you might not only experience the abundant life, but that you might help others to know about the abundant life. You're human. You're going to be tempted. If you want to be victorious, seek the game plan from Jesus. He knows how to defeat the devil. And the way that you defeat the devil is not by relying on yourself, but by relying on God. It's said in tiger country that you cannot be attacked if you see a tiger before it sees you. The reason for that is because tigers ambush you. I want you to know that Satan is always on the lookout for an opportunity to ambush. So be ready. Be prepared. Beware and be aware. You win and defeat temptation on the front side through prayer and meditation and partnership with the Lord. You don't get to make your mind up on the front side, but you do get to prepare your mind on the front side. Are you here today relying on you? Or are you here today relying on the Lord? My encouragement to you is, rely on the Lord, no matter how big your temptation is, or how big your storm is, or how big your issue is. I want you to know this, God is big enough for you. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the lesson that we get this morning in Jesus. Lord, that He did so good to always, always, always rely on you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to rely on you. I pray for those this morning that are fighting struggles. I pray this morning that you give them strength. I pray that you give us each strength. I pray that you'd help us to rely on you and to meditate on your word. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.